Welcome of the bedtime story.
Welcome to?
Welcome to the bedtime stories for the discerning child.
Today's episode is Strange Time Part 2, and we have to apologize. The audio quality at the beginning of this episode is quite low. It gets better about halfway through, but we are recording in bed, and things happen to the microphone. Now, this episode, you know, I think it's a lot about a fear that I had as a kid, and I think a lot of kids have, of being separated from their parents. You want to talk about that, Saskia? What happens in the first part of the story?
A kid named Rachel finds a blue letter on the table, like most of the others.
And what happens? She goes into a hole in the wall.
And then she falls asleep, and it's actually... And then she's in a different home, and she's in an office instead of her room.
So, but she doesn't travel, she's in the same home, but she travels through...
Time.
That's right.
So she's in the same hole in the wall, but it was actually... bolted up, right?
Yeah, and it was bolted up because it was 1 year later.
And then she was banging with her feet, and even they were kind of cracks in her feet. Right?
That's right, she hurts her feet. And how would you feel, Saskia, if you know, you got separated from your parents in time, that you were a year away from us? You're making a face. Is that a surprised face or a scared face or what? Should we start the story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
It worked, said Dr. Humphreys. What worked? Rachel asked. Just then, the front door flew open, and I could hear little feet running into the room. It was Dylan, a boy about the same age as Rachel was. He had sandy brown hair, and blue eyes, and a friendly face with a big smile on it. He ran into the room to hug his father, and stopped and said, "Oh, I didn't know there was someone here. Who are you?" Dylan's mama also walked into the room, and she and Rachel recognized her voice from when she was hiding. Her name, I think, was Sonia. "Dylan," Rachel said, "my name is Rachel, and I'm in the wrong house." Chapter 5. Dr. Humphreys, or Cornelius, had a toilet paper roll in his hands and a little red ball, and he was trying to show them something. What he did was he took a piece of construction paper and he tore a hole right in the middle of it. And then he pushed the toilet paper roll right through the paper. So half of it was on one side of the paper, and half of it was on the other. He looked at Rachel and tried to explain. "Did you see this little red ball in my hand?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, imagine that this little red ball is you." "Now, watch this." He took the little red ball and he rolled it through the toilet paper roll, and it rolled from one side of the construction paper to the other and fell out on the other side. "Do you see?" "See what?" "Dad, that's just a weird game. Can you really tell her what's going on?" "Okay, okay. Well, imagine that one side of this construction paper is your room in 2019. Now imagine that the other side of this construction paper is was your room 1 year later. What if there was some way that you could make a tunnel that would go from 1 year and one place to another in 1 second? Just like that.
That fast.
That fast. She said, yeah, but that's not possible. Nobody knows how to do that. Dylan and Sonia looked to their father, looked to Cornelius. Well, it wasn't possible until maybe today. What wasn't possible? Dylan looked at Rachel. He walked over to her and he took his hands in his. It was a really nice thing to do. And instead of her getting all nervous and flustered, she felt calm. He looked into her brown eyes, his blue eyes, and he said, Rachel, I think you traveled through time. And I think my father might have kind of made it happen. What? Rachel said, it's his fault that I'm not with my family right now? It's his fault that I got stuck in time? It's his fault that I don't know where my mama or my papa are, or maybe even the baby? Sonia said, he didn't mean to. He was just experimenting. She said, well, look what happened. He said, yeah, but it's cool. You're the first person to ever travel through time. You made it through 1 year as fast as I could snap my fingers. And you're still the same age. You didn't get any older, but the time changed. Rachel thought about it. He said, well, yeah, I guess that is pretty cool. So how do I get back? Everybody looked at Cornelius again, and he said, you know, I don't know. And that's the end of chapter 5.
No troubles.
Chapter 6. Everybody was looking at Dr. Humphreys. Cornelius shook his head and said, you know, it's taken me many years of experiments to send someone through time. And I'm worried that it's going to take me many more years to be able to send someone back through time. What are you saying? Well, I'm saying that I wonder if it's a better idea to find your parents now and just bring you to them. What are you doing? Oh, is it water? Are you drinking? Oh, yeah. To find you and just bring you to them. But we don't know where they are. Well, why don't we just look them up in the phone book? No, it's not that simple. My father works for the army. And when they send him somewhere new, sometimes they're not allowed to tell anyone. Sometimes you can't find the name. Well, we can look. The first thing they did was go on the computer.
So the kid told the names.
Yeah, the kid told them their names, and then they looked in the computer. And they came up with some names, but it was all other families that had sort of the same names, but not the same people. They couldn't find them on the computer. So
The next thing they did is they went to the library. And at the library, they had these books called telephone books. Every city has a telephone book. And in the telephone book is everybody's name and phone number that lives in the city. And so they got all the telephone books of all the big places in Canada. And they looked for the names. And every time they found the last name, Rachel's last name. Remember, I don't think we picked a last name for Rachel. What should it be?
Maybe Tegan.
Rachel Tegan?
Yeah.
That's her last name? Okay.
And her secret name is Brian.
Okay. They looked up all the names.
Brian.
Looked up all the names Brian in the phone book. Brian. And every time they'd find a number that might be it, they wrote it down. And then later they would call the number. Say, excuse me, I'm looking for the Tegan family. Do you have a daughter named Rachel that has been missing for a year? And sometimes the people would say, ooh, what are you talking about? You've called the wrong number. And sometimes they say, no, but that sounds really sad about a missing kid. I hope you find her. But never did they find the right people who would be so excited that they found Rachel. They didn't know what to do. They thought, well, maybe we should tell people that we found you, and then maybe the family will find us. But they couldn't do that, because then people would ask questions about the time machine. And Dr. Humphreys didn't want anyone to know about the time machine, because it was secret. And if somebody got the time machine that shouldn't have the time machine, they could do some very bad things with it. So he was afraid that maybe somebody would take it. So, they went back to looking at how they could maybe send Rachel back through time. And that's the end of chapter 6. Okay, I'll do a really quick one. Chapter 7. They turned on the lights in Dr. Humphrey's lab. Dylan, Sonia, and Rachel were all there. It was such a cool lab. There were all sorts of wires stretching all over the place, different angles, wrapped around lights, attaching to the wall, to the ceiling. It looked like a huge spider web in the room. And they were all connected. And in the middle was a bright light. That's the time tunnel, said Dr. Humphreys. What do you mean? Well, I'll show you how it works. He went over to a strange-looking sort of computer, and he put some numbers into it. And then the middle glowed green. And he said, go close, but don't touch it. Everybody went close, and they looked through the glowing green. And when they looked through, they could see a pirate ship. And in the pirate ship, real pirates were sailing along, and they looked mean and scary. And they said, is that real? Dr. Humphreys said, I think so. It's like a window looking back in time. So if we wanted to, if I could figure out exactly how to work this thing, we could see me as a baby with my mother. We could see any one of you as a baby with us. But I can't quite control it yet. I can only kind of change what's on there, but I never know what I'm going to see. And I think if you were to jump through the light, you would go to that other place on the other side. Wow, said Rachel. But how did I get here? I didn't have a time machine. And the hole in the wall was just a hole in the wall. Well, I think this time machine is very powerful. And I think when I turn it on, maybe places nearby get time tunnels. So this is just down the street from my house, and I wonder if the house had a little time tunnel open up, and I didn't even know it. And that's what you came through. But I just fell asleep in the wall. I don't understand. I don't understand either yet, but we're going to figure this out. And we're going to figure out how we can send you back.
get it.
Thank you. Thanks for that kiss. That was a nice kiss.
Are you recording it?
Yeah.
So, what do we have to do to send you back?
Oh, I don't know.
What happens if we send you back to the same time and we never move into your house because you stay there? Would that change where we are now? If we send you back to exactly the same place, would it mean that we're not here either? Would it change everything? Said Sonia. I don't know, said Dr. Humphreys. I've been trying to figure out those things, but it's so early. I've been experimenting with the machine, but I knew how to make it, but I don't really know what it does. I'm kind of silly that way. I just make things that do things, but I don't always think about how they're going to affect it. It's like, imagine if the world all never had any markers, and all those kids that drew with markers never got to draw. What would that do? So when we invented markers, kids were able to draw in a different way, and they were able to make stuff really easily, and it made some kids into artists. But what would the world be like if we went back in a time machine and we took the markers away the first time they were invented? What would kids be like today? Well, that's a hard question. We can never know. That's right. Okay, well, we have to come up with a plan to see if, one, we can get Rachel back in time, and two, we can make sure that she's back in time in a way that doesn't make us not come. Okay. Rachel said, but that still means that even if you send me back, that we're going to move out and move from Gimli. That's right. If you don't move from Gimli, we don't get to come there. And if you don't get to come here, then you'll never invent the time machine. We don't know. But I think we should try to make that happen just in case. Okay. Everybody agreed that they would try. But before they would try, they all went home. And Rachel slept in her old room, the office. They set up a sleeping bag on the floor. And even though it was a new room, it still kind of felt like home. And she had a good sleep that night. And the next morning when she woke up, she knew that they were going to start some new experiments to send her back to her parents. And that's the end of chapter 7.
We'll be back next week with the third part of Strange Time on Bedtime Stories for the Discerning Child. Thanks for listening.